Good morning. This is Wilt's Wake Up Call. Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. We're coming to you from downtown Carrboro, and WILP stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We come to you every Friday morning at from 7:30 to 8 o'clock to give you the hot news of the day. Today we have two of our WILP sisters with us. Welcome, Ruth Salve.
Good morning.
And Lib Hutchby.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
We're delighted, and not only delighted, but we're really proud of you. These two brave women committed civil disobedience, and got arrested. I think there were 47?
42.
42 who got arrested protesting. Duke Energy's building of a coal fire plant at Cliffside outside of Charlotte in this day and age when we're talking about global warming. So would you tell us a little bit more about this issue and about Cliffside and when you went there and go from there?
This was April 20th. There were about 250 people that met in the park very close to Duke Energy's main headquarters in downtown Charlotte. And we heard speeches by a number of people there who were greatly affected by mountaintop removal. Mm-hmm. There were people from Tennessee, Kentucky, and North Carolina, and maybe some from South Carolina. And we all marched very peacefully, chanting our slogans to stop Cliffside, and we did let Duke Energy know why we were coming and what we wanted from Jim Rogers, and we let the police know that we were coming and that this was going to be civil disobedience. We didn't know how many people would do civil disobedience, but this was a call to conscience.
Okay, Lib?
Let's speak a bit about the call to conscience,
yeah.
Because Ruth and I both feel this whole issue is so important to us personally. We feel that participating in civil disobedience is a personal call to conscience. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not called to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 44 people who were arrested, and Duke Energy had chosen to draw an orange line that separated the city sidewalk from their property. And we merely agreed, we understood, and we crossed that line.
Mm-hmm.
We were committing, participating in an act of civil disobedience. So it really was important to us to try to explain to people in the best way we know that poisoning for profit is not an ethical thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it is hazardous to everyone's health.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many parts to the issue that I think we probably need to just go straight into that. Ruth, is it something?
Yeah, it's morally reprehensible to do this. And the damage to public health is something that people oftentimes do not understand, what mercury does to children, and Lib can tell more about that.
So the mercury, the burning coal.
Yes, burning coal, exactly. Duke Energy has 20 coal-fired plants.
Wow.
Which emit over 100 million tons of CO2 as carbon dioxide a year.
Yeah.
And the emissions then, and the emissions are mercury, which is poison. Now, most of us have heard, you know, there's a list of fish that we're not supposed to eat because they've had mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So the mercury falls into the water, it's in the air,
mm-hmm.
and it actually has affected our food chain. So when I say that mercury is a poison,
mm-hmm.
that is scientifically correct.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Maude Barlow spoke about it in one of her books in reference to mercury is causing blindness, brain damage, and problems with reproduction in humans. So it's a very serious issue.
So this whole issue of I forget the percentage, and maybe you know, but a high percentage of the energy for the electricity that we all use today in our homes comes from coal. Is that?
Yeah, that's accurate.
And
every time we turn on the lights.
Yeah, and this whole thing with mountainside removal, I've seen some pictures on television, and it's horrifying. It's like a nightmare seeing them destroying a whole mountain, but not only destroying the mountain, but all of that material and sludge goes down into the water and affects those mountain communities.
Absolutely.
In Appalachia and other places.
They dynamite the mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are over 400 mountains that have been blown apart by this. And 1,200 miles of streams that have been contaminated. 1,200 miles of streams. So you can't say it's cut off at North Carolina. Those streams go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And every community that's affected,
mm-hmm.
it's their livelihood. It is their homes that are being destroyed because the ground underneath is moving, and their houses are moving.
Mm.
Their children's health, as well as theirs, are being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any type of breathing problems, you are getting worse and worse.
Mm.
And many, many people have had 20 years, 25, 30 years of living there, and they're saying, no more,
yeah.
no more.
Yeah. Well, this whole idea of cheap energy, you know, it's something we're having to face now with looking at our resources. This is not cheap when you look at the human cost, the health cost. This is like they keep saying, that's all we can afford is using coal. Well, maybe we're getting to realize we really can't afford it.
I was just going to follow up on what Ruth was saying, too, because Appalachian Mountains are 3 million years old.
Yeah.
It is really harsh to feel that the mountain removal, mountaintop removal, has gone this long, and it has not been stopped. And so to connect the fact that coal burning is creating the lights we use, you know, the electricity we use.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a connection every single time we turn on the light switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for people to make that connection with every single thing that we do, but our dependence on electricity and it's created dependence on coal. There are alternatives, so that's the good part.
Yes, that's the other part. And, you know, we've been talking about the effect on the destroying of beautiful mountains, which is like a desecration of the earth, talking about the health effects on not only the people in Appalachia, which feel it the most severely, but as those waters come down into it affects all of us, the humans, the habitat, the fish. But there's another big, big reason, and I'd like you to talk about, and that's global warming. This is putting all that CO2 into the air. This certainly has an effect on that.
Well, I'd like to tell you, I wrote to David Price, our congressman, and I received an email back saying, like you, I believe that greenhouse gas, GHG, emissions are the greatest threat to our environment and have been ignored by the U.S. government for far too long. I also agree with most leaders and experts that voluntary measures are not enough to address the problems of climate change.
Right.
As both a superpower and the world's largest per capita emitter of GHG, our nation must be a leader in finding clean energy solutions that reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, create a new generation of jobs, and provide climate and energy security for us and the generations to come.
Wow. So this is what David Price said. So he's understanding and is on board. But it's shocking to think that our legislators or regulatory bodies are allowing another coal-fired plant at this time when there's already so many. And we're talking about alternatives. It just makes you wonder. I guess money has a factor in that.
You bet. I've heard it argued that Duke doesn't even need the Cliffside plant, but Duke just wants to sell as much energy as possible. And the question was asked, wasn't there another study out recently about this? Mm-hmm. And yes, there was. Mm-hmm. Dr. John Blackburn, a retired chair of Duke University's economic department, put out a study showing that there is no need for Cliffside to be enlarged, that there was enough mm-hmm. power there, and it was only greed, the desire to sell it to other plants.
So North Carolina is going to have its health affected under the guise that we need another coal-fired plant for our energy, while what's happening is that Duke is planning to sell it because it's not really needed to other states. And it just makes you see Duke's corporate influence over elected and regulatory officials is subverting our democracy. And this is, the Cliffside case is just showing it so starkly, because there's been a lot of hearings. I've been to a few of them, and excellent data and information have been presented by the concerned public, and we've been ignored.
Well, excuse me.
There are groups that were endorsing this action on April 20th, and this was our gathering together and our being arrested for trespassing too.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were Dr. James Hansen, Martin Sheehan,
wow.
Bill McKibben, North Carolina Representative Susan Fisher. Thank you, Susan.
Yes.
Gloria Rubin, Reverend Carrie Bolton.
Oh, Carrie.
And Reverend Nelson Johnson and Father John Rausch. They also endorsed the action on April the 20th, as well as 21 organizations that endorsed the action.
Oh.
And the letter that we gave to Jim, we wanted to give to Jim Rogers,
who's the CEO of Duke Energy, and he was just on 60 Minutes talking. It was just clear out of both sides of his mouth talking. He recognizes global warming out of one side, something needs to be done, but then on the other side was, what can we do? We just have to just go forward to meet the energy needs, and it was horrifying. And I think they did a reasonably good job of making that clear, although I think they had Dr. Jim Hansen on for 30 seconds or something.
Oh, yes, exactly. According to NASA's Jim Hansen, the best thing North Carolina can do is stop construction of Duke Energy's
yes.
Cliffside plant.
Yes.
So that's coming straight from Jim Hansen.
So they gave several minutes, 10, 15 minutes to Jim Rogers, and gave about the 30 second with Hansen, although I think they let him gave him enough rope to hang himself, I hope. Okay, we're just going to take a station break here. Again, this is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we're here every Friday at 7:30 to 8 o'clock to give you the important news of the day. And we have an underwriter, which is Internationalist Books on 405 West Franklin Street. They've been in Chapel Hill for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, a long time. And you can get excellent books there, and they'll order what they don't have. They're also a community resource. You can get more information by going to internationalistbooks.org. And if you want more information about what WILF is doing, and we do a lot, you can go to our website, trianglewilf.org. And WILF, I'm hoping I'm not pronouncing it right, has a P in it, W-I-L-P-F, trianglewilf.org. And we want to tell you about another important thing that WILF is doing. On May 9th, Saturday, a week from tomorrow, we're going to be having a community forum, or you might say a teach-in, called Bailouts and Corporate Greed, Why We Need Unions. We're going to have some very professor, and we're going to have Chris Chafe. The professor, I think, is Dave Zonderman. And
He's at NC State.
I got him in the wrong university, but it's still a prestigious university. And he teaches labor history and at NC State. Thank you, Dick. Dick is our engineer. And that'll be Saturday, May 9th, from 3:30 to 5:30 at the Chapel Hill Public Library. And we will also be having, on our program, we've had three or four times one of the big issues we've been working on, considering labor and labor justice. We've had the Moncure workers who've been on strike, who were on strike for 8.5 months. It's recently got a contract, but there's still a very toxic work environment, and we still have to be part of that struggle. And we're going to have some of the workers there to tell what's, you know, right here in our local area, what's happening to workers. And we're also going to be talking about the Employee Free Choice Act, which the Chamber of Commerce and other corporate greedy people are horrified by, because it's going to cut into maybe some of their excessive profits. So it's going to be, if you're upset about bailouts, if you're upset about what's happening to working people, come and learn more what you can do and learn more about it on Saturday, May 9th at the Chapel Hill Public Library, 3:30 to 5:30. Okay, I'm going to get back to this important topic we're talking about today, which is Duke Energy's building an unnecessary coal-fired plant at Cliffside, which is just outside of Charlotte. And we have two of our WILF sisters here who bravely confronted the corporate beast, with 42 of them committed civil disobedience and got arrested, to show how serious they are about what's happening to our environment and what's happening that our regulatory agencies still don't regulate for the people but are susceptible to corporate power. And we have Ruth Zalf and Lib Hutchby. So let's get back to what we're talking about here. Where do we want to pick up?
I would think that just a quick review, in a sense, because we are talking about the atmospheric carbon dioxide levels that are already 10% higher than safe levels, according to Dr. Hansen's NASA team. So this is an effort that needs to be made countrywide. But right here in North Carolina, we're trying to stop Cliffside. And that is actually, Cliffside is the name of a small town 60 miles west, northwest of Charlotte. So when we say stop Cliffside, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. And also just the metaphor, if we can call it that, of thinking cliffside and an idea that we are at a point where we can just go over a cliff, basically. But at any rate,
that's a powerful metaphor.
Yeah, there's so much to the issue.
There is.
I bet Ruth has something else to add on that.
Yes. We can't tell the rate of further climate disruption, but the United Nations climate panel recently warned that we have only 6 years If we continue at the current pollution levels before we cross a point of no return.
Wow.
Now, what does it mean, a point of no return?
Yeah.
That means we can't undo. Mm-hmm. If our society were free from confusion sown by energy corporations, mm-hmm. such as Duke Power, mm-hmm. we might understand better what no return means.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think people in their daily lives can understand and already see how we're being affected. Look at the increased rate of asthma. I mean, that's talked about all the time. I mean, we're killing or hurting our children and ourselves, you know, by this, just like lemmings, you're right, going over the cliff. We don't seem to know how to get together enough to stop it. The rate of cancer, you know, that has been in the... When I was a kid, a few years back, when somebody got cancer, it was a rare occurrence, and everybody was talking in hushed terms. Now, practically everybody you know has had some bout, or a family member has. I mean, cancer's become, you know, we're sort of doomed. Okay, we're going to get cancer someday. We're accepting it instead of being brave, like the two of you and the 40 other people that accompanied you, and saying enough.
Well, there are other states and utilities that have heeded the winds of change and canceled projects for new coal-fired power plants.
Uh-huh.
Duke's choice to revert to more coal-fired power at Cliffside and at Edwardsport, Indiana. That's another plant they want to enlarge.
Wow.
It's morally, scientifically, and politically indefensible.
It certainly is. I saw on that same 60 Minutes program where they had Jim Rogers, they talked about if you're going to have clean coal, how expensive it is to go through that process. And then it became clear that with, I forget how many hundreds of plants there are, there's no way that they're all going to become clean. Why don't we put the money into alternatives?
Well, this is one of the points that was in the letter that we tried to give Jim Rogers. And the point is this, that there's $2.4 billion of ratepayer money being spent on Cliffside.
Wow.
That must immediately be redirected toward independent efficiency and conservation programs, as well as the mass development of renewable energy technologies. So that was one of the points.
Yeah.
Jim Rogers is admitting that there's a problem.
Yes.
But he's saying, oh, we can't do anything about it. We can't do this. We can't make the transition to 2050. And right here in North Carolina, we're saying, no, there is something that can be done about it. In fact, there is a House Bill 1050 that is currently being discussed by many people, and it has been introduced with the help of a coalition, and N.C. Warren mm-hmm. has been especially forward-looking in this effort. Jim Warren and Steve
McDowell. N.C. Warren. Well, what is that bill going to do? What is that bill going to do for us? Does it have anything to do with what I was just thinking when we're talking about alternative energy? Everybody's talking about wind and solar. And North Carolina gets a fair amount of sunshine. Seems to me, in the mountains and other places, I would think there'd be a lot of wind. Instead of tearing the mountains down, why aren't we putting wind things up there?
Well, this is one of the considerations.
Uh-huh.
It truly is. But there's a statewide, as I said, there's the House Bill 1050.
Yeah.
This is a statewide, it's called NC Saves Energy.
Oh, okay.
It is a campaign that now has over 30 consumer-face social justice, senior citizen, and environmental nonprofits working together to promote North Carolina House Bill 1050. So I keep repeating this so that people who are listening will be sure to get this. House Bill 1050 is very important to pay attention to.
So it's important, and they should get in touch with their representatives.
This legislation will lower energy bills, limit the need for $40 billion in new power plants, create thousands of green jobs, and reduce pollution without impacting the strained state budget. Now, that sounds magical, but that is what is proposed, and I think it's certainly worth looking into.
So House Bill 1050 is a local bill for the North Carolina,
yes, it is proposed
in the
North Carolina legislature.
And I guess your state senators, our state senator Ellie Kinnaird, is Joe Hackney to call. Let's get to find out who our own representatives are, because I read in that letter that you sent to Jim Rogers that Dr. Hansen from NAFTA recently repeated that stopping Cliffside is the best thing North Carolina can do to help with global warming. So many times we feel helpless, what can I do? And here's a big thing we can do.
Yes,
absolutely.
And then to support Yverla Insko is another one of our representatives from here, Verla and Ellie and Joe Hackney. So we want to get them House Bill 1050.
The power companies would rather risk your money on giant, lucrative new power plants.
Yes.
So the legislators need to hear from you. They need to hear from you now. And they need to hear from you and all of your friends again and again. We won't let up. We won't let up. We will keep on fighting.
I really hear the determination in your voice, Ruth and Lib, who are so determined. These are ladies of a certain age who were brave enough to go and now have to go to court. I mean, civil disobedience means you're going to take the consequences. Are you going to be going? You've been arrested. Are you going to be going to trial?
We're not sure of that. What I would like to tell you quickly, because is that next week there is a shareholders meeting on Thursday in Charlotte. So if any of you can come, it starts at 9:15 a.m. There is going to be a group of us there to greet the shareholders and leaflet and try to explain to them the need to stop Cliffside.
Okay, who do you get in touch with if you
websites? Do you have time for websites?
Yes, give us a website really quick.
Okay, stopcliffside.org, NCWARN.
Okay.
It's Canary Coalition.
Okay.
Another one, mountainjusticesummer.org. And would also suggest Appalachian Voices, which is appvoices.org.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap up. There's several places that you can get in touch. There are things that we all can do, and I think that's what this program is trying to get across, the seriousness of the problem, how it affects all of us, and what we all can do to stop Cliffside and make North Carolina a healthier place.
Thank you for asking us.
And call Wolf for information.
And
call Wolf.
And call Wolf, go to trianglewolf.org if you want some more information, too. If you forget some of the other ones, we're here all the time. It will be on our website, trianglewolf.org.